You're listening to Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott.
I'm Jim Burris, in today for Dennis O'Hare. Illicit drug use has been rising steadily among college-aged young adults, mostly driven by increases in marijuana use. In addition, the non-medical use of stimulants, including Adderall and Ritalin, has more than doubled in the past few years. And this is taken directly from the National Institute on Drug Abuse, or NIDA.
Located on the campus of Kennesaw State University is the Center for Young Adult Addiction and Recovery. Their mission, to enable, support, and encourage young adult recovery and wellness. They say they provide programs and engage in collaborative research and education. Joining Closer Look to talk more about the center is its director, Teresa Johnston. And we're also joined by a recent Kennesaw State graduate, Michael, and a current student, Erica. Both have agreed to share their personal stories. Thank you all for coming in and taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Erica, I want to start with you. What was your addiction?
My addiction was psychedelics. A lot of marijuana and psychedelics, yeah.
Michael?
And for me, pretty much anything you could throw my way, I would drink or eat or anything else.
You say pretty much anything.
Anything, so alcohol, opiates, marijuana, pretty much anything.
May I ask how old you all were when you started, Eric?
I was 14 when I first got drunk, and 15 when I first did drugs.
Michael? Same age for me, 14.
Ms. Johnson, how familiar are these stories?
They're very familiar. We see that the average age of first use for many of the young adults in our population is 14, 15 years old, middle school, and early high school is what we're seeing.
Tell us about how the Center for Young Adult Addiction and Recovery got started at Kennesaw State.
Absolutely. With the rising awareness of drug use for these young adults and adolescents, there has been a national movement to bring recovery on the college campus as a way to let people know that there are services and there are healthy places and places where people can engage and be safe in recovery. And at Kennesaw State, the president of the university, Dr. Papp, funded it specifically. He was very behind the idea and very supportive of what we do.
And talk about the staff that makes this up. Who are students coming in to see?
So our staff is clinical as well as non-clinical. We have licensed professional counselors. So we have students who come in and are looking for help, trying to change. And then we have a cohort of students who are in recovery. This semester we have about 84 students, and they're actually looking for each other. They're looking for recovery support and a way to engage in a mainstream experience in college and also have friends who are in recovery.
I want to turn to Erica here for a second. How would you describe drug use, and this is in your own words, and the availability of getting drugs on campus?
The availability of getting drugs on campus, I have no idea because I came into school sober. We used to say when I was actively using drugs in high school that weed was easier to get than paper. So I would say
it was easier in high school?
For me, yes. Mm-hmm. I got sober when I was 18, so I started school already roughly a year in sobriety. But it is everywhere if you're looking for it. It's not hard to find if that's your intention.
Michael, what about you?
Yeah, my freshman year, which actually, you know, I hit my rock bottom on campus. I was living in the dorms. Eventually kind of was asked to leave the dorms after a while, but I could, my hallway in the dorms could find anything I wanted.
From other
students. And, you know, I just happened to come across a few people and a few things, and that's really where my use escalated.
Your parents obviously didn't know, Michael?
My parents did not know. I think they, had an idea. I might enjoy a few beers every now and then, but the overall use of what I was experiencing and how I was living, they had no idea.
Ms. Johnson, so when you hear Michael talk about it's everywhere, and you heard Erica say it's easy to get if you want it, and it's not just Kennesaw State. I mean, I'm sure every campus across this country is dealing with that. Can universities and colleges, is there a way to even begin to combat just even having drugs on campus? You don't want to start searching dorm rooms and bringing in, you know, drug-sniffing dogs, but where do you begin?
Well, I think we have to begin to understand that alcohol is a drug. And so when we talk about the social aspects of legal drugs, then the understanding and the expansion of, for example, marijuana being legal in the country as well, that is a social issue, right? And so at the end of the day, when we look at the campus and we look around, we look at the environment, we look at our family system as well. And many of our students, not just at Kennesaw, but many students and young people learn their alcohol use at home. And so often it's just an escalation of the next thing that they're introduced to, potentially in high school or in college.
Michael, I want to go back to something you said a moment ago, and that was that you hit rock bottom your freshman year. What did that look like? Freshman year is hard for most students just to get through academically. Having this to deal with too, what kind of a barrier was that?
Well, I think, especially as a young person, comparing my rock bottom to external consequences of other people and older people that come in to recovery, that was a struggle I had to get over and surrender to. But for me, especially, my rock bottom I look at is a point in my life where I knew I had to change something, and I knew that's what I needed to do, but not knowing how and still feeling hopeless and powerless. And that was the worst spot I've ever been in my life.
How did you connect with the center?
With the center, so I entered recovery after my freshman year that summer. And after about a year or two, I had some friends in recovery who were part of Kennesaw State University in the collegiate recovery program. So it was an old playground for me. I had some fear going back there, but over some time I saw that there was support, and they really said how much fun they're having. It was really good for their recovery. So I decided to transfer back to Kennesaw State University and join the program.
And Erica and Michael, this is both for you. Part of recovery is removing yourself from a situation that would lead you back to your former behavior to use again. If the college setting is where you were doing that predominantly, or just before you got to college, how hard is that to be in that situation every day?
It's awkward at first, that's for sure. For me, I had to train myself to study and to sit through class and to do all that sober. That was the biggest part for me, because I had never been in an academic setting without a study buddy of some sort. And that was the biggest barrier for me, but the CRC teaches you a lot of skills to combat that and to give you a lot of resources to get you where you need to be in order to be successful.
I think for a lot of people, especially people like me and Erica's shoes who, suffer from an addiction, kind of seeing the whole experience of college somehow wanting to experience college through the use of alcohol or drugs. And then, you know, in class, hearing people talk about parties on the weekend and that, and thinking that is still the college experience and feeling left out of the college experience. And what we've learned is that we can still feel a part of the college experience, which is really important.
We're talking about Kennesaw State University Center for Young Adult Addiction and Recovery. Our guests, the Center Director, Teresa Johnston, and Erica and Michael are also with us. Ms. Johnston, I want to start with you on this, because you've heard their stories about the challenges. So when someone walks right into the center, take us through the steps, whether it's meeting with the counselor and then treatment, and how you assess the needs of that individual.
So there are a couple different things that we think about. The first is the students who are in recovery. So students learn about our center from each other, from outside resources, and it's actually delightful. These are people who are in recovery. They are smart people. They're intellectual. They're going back to school for many reasons. And so it's a delightful experience to meet them. Many of them, I never see them in their active addiction because they're in recovery when they come to the campus and they come and find us. And then there are the students who learn about our center from the outreach that we do. We do workshops and we teach a lot of courses. And those students often will come into the center and say, I think I have a problem. And so the good news is they know that we understand and we're not judging them, and we are there to help them. And so we are often able to work with them and then refer them and say, you know, there are 84 students on this campus who are living a life clean and sober. You want to go meet them. And so this social support system that we have is very positive. And so I find it very hopeful and exciting.
Are there times when the center needs to refer someone for additional help or treatment because you can't meet their needs?
Absolutely. So we are not a treatment center. We are a retention, progression, and graduation program, really a cohort to help students graduate from college, which is obviously one of our main goals in supporting those in recovery. But we do have great relationships in the area, and we do refer out if necessary. And then the students can come back, so they have a place to come back to.
Is it alcohol that's the major problem that you see with students and in other individuals that are coming in?
We see opiate addiction. So there's an epidemic in this country right now with opiate addiction, prescription pills. But primarily, we see a lot of marijuana and alcohol.
It's interesting, especially with the push toward legalization of marijuana, this idea that it is not addictive. And the fact that a lot of people see alcohol as not a real drug, right? How do you get past that?
How do I get past that when I am speaking to the students or explaining to them?
As far as with the students, if they don't think it's a problem because they're seen from the outside, it's not viewed as one, but it actually is causing them problems in life. How do you kind of get that message across that, look, this really is an addiction?
So there are a couple things that we do. One of the things that we do is we teach about risk perception. We take the focus off the alcohol and drugs, and we talk about who we are as individuals. And so it is easy for me to be able to explain to a student and say to them, if you have a marijuana bong that has a name, then you have a relationship with that. That is very different from somebody else who might maybe smoke a joint on a Friday night. And so we try to show them that perception and how they relate to their drug of choice or their behavior of choice is often the consequence. I think our society focuses on alcohol and drugs. And yes, of course, they're the psychoactive agent that people become addicted to. But the prevention side is pretty critical for us.
Erica and Michael, you both perked up when she mentioned risk perception. And Michael, you kind of gave like a pump fist.
That's more of an inside joke because I work for the center at Kennesaw State, and all weekend I've been part of teaching the classes about risk perception. Mm-hmm. So all weekend I always kind of tease like, hey, risk perception, we're at the lake. Should we jump off this cliff? Risk perception. So it's more of within that.
Well, let me then toss this to both of you then, because you're closer to your peer groups than, let's say, Ms. Johnson and of course, me, because I'm old. But is it easier for them to sort of also talk to you all in addition to the other help that they're getting at the center? And what are the conversations like?
So you're asking, what is if a new person walks in the door, what's the conversation like?
Sure. Particularly for you all, because you're closer to their age for most of them.
Yeah, typically, starts off with just some normal small talk, and then it'll get to, so what were you into, drug wise, and maybe they'll tell a little bit of the story, and typically everyone starts laughing because they can relate to it, and we try to tell them what a little bit about the center on the social side, what we're doing. Maybe we're all going out to a meeting and going to play whirly ball or something like that, or going to a football tailgate. So starts off getting to know each other, establishing some common ground with our past, and then saying, hey, come hang out with us.
Michael?
Yeah, I think mainly, you know, because a lot of us have the same story. We all come, we kind of experience the same things. So really finding common ground, where we relate, and usually I always like to ask a question like, what brought you here? Because usually there's one event, at least like something that happened to spark the journey of recovery.
Ms. Johnson, as we wrap up here, how unique is this center? And are you aware of other centers like this that maybe across the country that you all sort of get together, talk about what's working, what's not working, and talk about challenges and then solutions that can help across the board here?
Absolutely. Well, we were the first center here in the Southeast at Kennesaw State. And shortly thereafter, we started, I was founding president of the Association for Recovery in Higher Education, which is a national association that bands together to help support students on college campuses. And we have over 150 universities now that either have an emerging program or have a community of students in recovery. So it's something that has grown exponentially in the past 5 years, although back in 1997, I think Brown University, Rutgers University, and Texas Tech were a handful of the original folks.
And Michael and Erica will close with this question. Addiction is lifelong. How much easier is it now for you all?
A lot easier. The way I have a new interest in life and having fun in recovery, that was the one thing as a young person thinking, you know, the rest of my life is going to be so depressing and all that. No, it's so much more enjoyable. And, you know, me and Erica, for example, love to travel to music festivals around the country, and there's a lot of recovery support at those festivals and concerts. That's just one example. One of the things where you think I'm not allowed to go back because I'm a person in recovery.
Sure.
But no, we can do really, I think, more and anything than before.
Yeah, just to echo what he said, it's a lot easier. It's normal. I don't miss the old ways. And yeah, we have a lot more fun and have a lot more money to actually go and enjoy because we don't have to buy $10 beers. It's great.
Ms. Johnson, closing thoughts for you when you hear these success stories, and you probably hear them a lot.
I do. As I said, I get to see the good news often. I see both sides of it. But I think college is an amazing place, and I don't know what it is culturally today that there's this expectation and this rite of passage or this idea that is, you know, I have to have this college experience, because college really is about education and research and service, and our cohorts of students really are about education, research, and service. They're integrated, and they're gracious people, and they're grateful. And so being around a population like that is a gift.
Teresa Johnson is the director of Kennesaw State University's Center for Young Adult Addiction and Recovery. Michael and Erica, thank you all for coming in and sharing your story. Ms. Johnson, thank you as well.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks
Good
for
luck
having
to
us.
Both of you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.